No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Well, that sucked. I rewatched this Bears-Lions game, 52-21 at Ford Field. Let's talk about it, if you want.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, share this Bears YouTube channel with any fellow Bears fans if they're still out there. Guys, yesterday was rough. Rough and not even just a score, 52-21. Just really quickly, not that anybody really cares, but I was actually at a bachelor party the two previous days before flying to Detroit early in the morning. Got on a flight at 4:20 from Austin to Dallas and Dallas to Detroit. Made it with plenty of time to watch that just unravel, happen. And man, there are some concerning things with this football team. I know we're just 2 weeks in and, you know, just kind of listening to the tone of Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson. Of course, you're not going to, you know, panic or anything like that. But you just watch what's happening on the football field and it's hard not to be concerned about what's kind of going on here. So let's just get right into this. And I think naturally, we always want to start with quarterback play and just kind of going over like Caleb Williams' day, the 19 of 30, 207, two touchdowns, the interception, sacked four times for 29 yards, 43.7 QBR, all this stuff. I don't know. After even rewatching just the, and I just watched the condensed TV film, it still felt like it's like everybody plays a part in this loss happening. You have to. But it didn't feel like the quarterback was the biggest issue, if that makes sense to people. Like when I'm watching Caleb Williams, I am seeing a guy that is giving the ball to his playmakers, a guy that's at least giving his guys a chance. But it was there's still plays here and there where you're like wondering exactly what's kind of going on. I think he talked about the QB sneaks and Ben Johnson had a good discussion with him after the first one where he went right and maybe suggestion go right next time because it looked like that one was more successful. So that's something. The interception, obviously, thought Olamide Zaccheaus was going to kind of go up more upfield. But I just think that when you like what's really Caleb Williams' fault, I just think when you look at the sequence of plays after You have the touchdown by the Lions and go up 14-7. You have the DeAndre Swift fumble. Your defense, after that fumble, forces a 3-and-out. You get the turnover on downs. And so that's, again, the QB sneaks there. But your defense, at least point in the game, at least stops them on because they missed the field goal. But then you go and get the interception afterwards, and then Detroit doesn't step off the gas here. Touchdown, Caleb Williams and the Bears actually bounce back and answer the touchdown. That one, the second one to Roma Dunze. But it's just like those missed opportunities when the defense is actually making stops, where you just got to find ways to capitalize. And so that's where I think there's a little bit at fault in the quarterback. But I still feel like after this game, it just wasn't his fault. Again, he plays a part of it, but he wasn't the biggest issue. Looking protection-wise, I mean, Braxton Jones got exposed in this one. Aiden Hutchinson, there were a couple of sequences in this game. I believe it was in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. After the 55 missed field goal, I have Braxton Jones versus Hutchinson. He gets a face mask on him. Braxton Jones gives up pressure. Like, it was a bad showing for Braxton Jones. Darnell Wright got beat on a sack. He also got the chop block called on him. Had some protection issues. Not as expected, but, you know, Braxton Jones still coming back from injury. He got exposed in this one. Darnell Wright, like I said, had some bad plays. And then just offensively, you just could not really get anything going in the second half. You have the three and out right coming out of halftime where Detroit scores the 8 plays, 76 yards, the Isaac Tesla catch, ruled inbounds, out of bounds, end up getting the 4-yard reception to Amon-Ra St. Brown. But you need to see some type of response there. You don't. You had a false start by DeAndre Swift, who I think overall, you guys, I know the fumble, you can't have it. Great play by Branch there, just putting football, the helmet, dislodging the ball. Huge hit. Still, like, you got to hold on to the football some way, somehow. But DeAndre Swift, overall, I thought ran the ball better. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but just even rewatching again, there were some lanes, the 5.3-yard average, 63 yards on 12 carries. But you had to abandon the run pretty early on in this one because of how the game turned out. But, you know, here's that play, the drive right after halftime, right? 5-yard penalty, false start, DeAndre Swift. You get the 4-yard run by Swift on the next play. You get a 2-yard run on the next one. And then you have the incompletion. Ball's thrown behind Olamide Zaccheaus. I don't know what the missed connection there was. So that's something that you could go back, put on Caleb. And then you go 3-and-out, man. And when you have Detroit rolling like they are in this game, you can't afford to have those types of drives. Quick, done, give the ball back to a Detroit Lions offense that absolutely humming. And that's where, you know, rewatching this game, it is just jarring how, I don't know how bad this defense is or how the inability to get to the quarterback. Like, that is a huge, huge issue. But we'll say the second or the defense for the second half of the show here. Really quickly, more in the offense. You got Lions go the field goal, 5 plays, 60 yards. And then you have the turnover on downs again. You have a 10-yard run by Caleb. Gets, obviously, positive yards in that first play from scrimmage. DeAndre, 4-yard run. Then you have a Caleb Williams sack by Marcus Davenport. So that's the one that Darnell Wright gave up, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. I know I have it in my notes here. Boyd's pressure. Yep. Williams sacked. Wright beat by Davenport. Beat inside. Wright's gets some hands on Davenport, but really does nothing to stop his rush. So you get the sack on 2nd and 6. So now you're looking at 3rd and 14. Caleb scrambles, gets 9. And then you have the incompletion again. Pass tipped. So I don't know how much I don't know. Is that a Williams thing? Is that the offensive line? Like, it's just, that's a tough play. So then after that, the Lions just don't show any mercy, and they shouldn't. But you have the 44-yard touchdown pass the next drive to Jameson Williams. I don't know what Nashawn Wright's doing on that play. I don't know what the safeties are doing. I don't get the communication on that one, but it just happened. Happened, and, you know, Detroit Lions score because the Bears can't capitalize. Turnover on down. Now this game's getting out of hand. 38-14. Whole time during this game, too. Actually, in the beginning of this game, before it even starts, Ben Johnson walking along one of the end zones. Detroit Lions fans, they see that. They're booing Ben Johnson. They're saying throughout the game, F Ben Johnson. Like, they're letting him know. They're letting their old coordinator know that they're, I guess, unhappy that he went to the NFC North. I don't get it. You want the guy to, you know, have success, go get, you know, a head coaching role, move up in the NFL ranks, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But Detroit, it was a hostile environment. It was something. They were ready for this football game. The Bears weren't, especially when it got into the second half. Just didn't even come close, to be completely honest. Where I even noted on the opening kickoff of the third quarter, something just fell off. Where Detroit brought the intensity, and it didn't feel like the Bears, for whatever reason, came out of halftime ready. Maybe it's how the end of the half went. Who knows? But it just didn't feel that way. Another thing, just kind of looking back at this game and looking at the, hopefully I can find it really quick. Yes, Courtney Cronin tweeted the snap counts. And I know I talked about this really quickly on the Chicago Football Show on Marquee Sports Network, but did you guys know that Colson Loveland played? Like, be honest with me. I'm looking at the comments here. Appreciate everyone for joining in, hanging out. We have 400, I would assume 80 plus Bears fans that are pissed off about their football team, as you should be. But Colson Loveland? Donde está? What's going on here? Top 10 pick. Shouldn't you want to use the tight ends in a way that is going to impact the football game and in the passing game, especially when you have a guy like that? Oh, God. Even like looking at Cole Kmet played 90% of the snaps, 61%. I know he had a reception. And the one actually, let me see, receiving. Cole Kmet, he had two. Sorry, my mistake. One of the receptions, though, he was lined up outside one-on-one against, I believe it was Terrion Arnold in the corner. You know, gets a 7-yard reception, but it's like we just didn't see any of that. Didn't see it. Like, it just question. I just question how, like, you go into this game not trying to get those guys more involved. Rome Odunze, it actually, after rewatching the game, the 7 receptions, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns, loved his reception in the middle of the field, diving, making that reception. There were still 2 plays later on in that game where, you know, Rome gets his hand on the football. It's in traffic. He's being hit. Doesn't come down with it. But I don't think anybody's ever questioned if Rome can make, like, the catch where, you know, it's there to be made. It's more so I still need to see more consistently some of the more contested plays, because that's what I mean. Washington, you kind of, he had this knack for doing that, but when there's a little bit of traffic and he has to get hit and hang on to the football, like, he didn't make some of those plays happen in the second half of the football game. Where I noted, I'm like, man, I didn't even think that ball got to him. Watching live from the press box view. But then you watch the replay. It's like, oh, he did get both hands on it. Branch hit him immediately, dislodges the football. You know, there's another one there that, you know, hits him right in the hands in the middle of the field again. It's a rocket throw, too. I believe it's after Caleb offense take a negative play. So this would have at least helped you. Can't make that play. So, look, I think it's a positive for the Caleb-Rome connection moving forward after this game, but still want to see some of those other plays being made. DJ Moore was an afterthought. It's a guy that every time he's gone to Ford Field, the last 3 times he's played there, over 90 receiving yards, a touchdown, just wasn't too much of a factor in this one. I already talked about Loveland, Cole Kmet. Olamide Zaccheaus, 2 receptions, 12 yards. Is that on some of it on the quarterback? Yeah. Is it just some on maybe the scheme or how, you know, offensively you're trying to do things? But it just wasn't there. Just was not there from the offense. There were some better rushing lanes. I will say that for DeAndre Swift. I did notice that. That was an improvement from last week's matchup with the Vikings, but still, that needs to obviously improve. And like I said earlier, you kind of get away from the run game when the score ends up being what it is. But man, it was extremely disappointing. Just on all levels to see the performance that the Bears had in this one. And, you know, I'm Alfredo. Like, I feel you, man. The lack of the use for the weapons we draft this year is painful. I mean, Trapillo, healthy scratch. Shamar Turner, you know, still dealing with what he's dealing with. Like, you're not getting an immediate or any impact. Luther Burden. Donde esta as well. Like, it's... I know it's only 2 weeks and maybe a little bit overblown here, but when you lose a game like you did in the first week against the Vikings in the fourth quarter debacle, and then you just go and get blown out. Division opponents, 0-2 in the NFC North, 0-2 on the season. It's hard not to go to these extremes when talking about the football team, especially when, you know, the score, it was as bad as it was. And that's just the offensive side. Do you guys? We got to talk about this defense. We got to talk about Dennis Allen's defense, man. Because I truly thought that just even having him as your DC was going to kind of make everything else a little bit better. But, man. Sorry, I'm just reading the comments here in the live YouTube. But Shy Bears fan here. This is the second game that Williams keeps getting his passes batted down at the line. It's a good point. Yeah, and, you know, one of those is on a fourth down play where obviously you get the turnover on downs, but you did have that. I wonder, you know, if that's a good question for maybe the offensive line too, how much they play a role in, like, trying to get these guys, the guys that they're blocking out of passing lanes. Can Caleb just do a better job at different arm angles? Does it help play more on time to maybe avoid these type of, there's probably a bunch of different factors here, but not making any excuses by any means. But guys, we do need to talk about this defense. But before we do, look, we gotta thank some sponsors here. And I appreciate everyone for hanging out right now. The numbers are awesome today, but, you know, I know it's not the reason why we all want to be here talking about 52-21. Detroit Lions, your first road test of the season, and you absolutely fail. And you know what? There is one last thing I want to mention about the offense after the break, because I think it is important moving forward for this Bears football team. Got to thank everybody at Windy City Sports Cards. They specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to those Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. So visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to simply discover a new favorite. Check them out at 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. That's 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. Also, hey, shout out to Triumph Drinks. While I was at this bachelor party in Austin, gave myself and, you know, the guys there some Triumph. We definitely needed it after, you know, some drinking, going out, hanging out. A lot more fun in Austin than it was in Detroit, for sure. But like Ben Johnson is going to hopefully make it happen this season, you guys made this happen. Triumph Drinks is back for month two because of your support. And to celebrate, they gave us an extra better deal to show you guys some love for supporting the show. When you use the code NICK, N-I-C-K, you get 25% off your order. Triumph is clean. It tastes amazing. No sugar, no artificial ingredients. So thank you guys, all of you, for being here, for making this possible. Now enjoy 25% off with code NICK. Check them out at triumphdrinks.com.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
TriumphDrinks.com. Yeah, it was much needed after the weekend of going out and you know, being 30 at a bachelor party. Fun time, though. Fun times with the guys and hanging out. Great barbecue. Terry Black's, that's where we went. Amazing. Amazing food. Amazing time. And now we're here. Nicholas Moriano Show talking about the Bears 52-21 loss to the Detroit Lions. Not even close. Actually, I guess it was close for a little bit in the first half, right? Like, they were there. And then the end of the half happened, and then second half. Just done. Goodbye. But really quickly, one last thing about the offense. Because, I don't know, I noticed it. I'm sure a lot of people notice it as well. But there were a lot of times within the huddle, Caleb and the rest of the offense are breaking it, what, 8-7 seconds left in the play clock? And, you know, they had to burn a timeout one of the times. But you're just accelerating the clock of what Caleb needs to do, especially when you get out that late. You're in an environment that is super loud. If you guys haven't been to Ford Field, it gets extremely loud there, especially ever since the, you know, Detroit Lions have become a prominent football team and become, you know, competitors in the NFC North or the lead dogs in the NFC North. Like, it's just rocking, man. It is rocking. So it is something that obviously I think affected, you know, the play call coming in and then Caleb trying to get that out to the rest of the 10 guys in the huddle. But anytime that you're breaking the play clock or the huddle with the play clock that low, it's not going to help things here. Chicago Fanatic, one last thing in the offense before I kind of get to defense. How soon would you consider making offensive line changes? I don't know. I was like thinking about it after finishing rewatching this morning, like the Braxton Jones stuff from today or yesterday. Man, it was alarming. And I know Aiden Hutchinson's a good football player, but when you're getting beat like you are from power, from speed, you can't have that. You cannot have that as you're trying to move forward with your offense. And we know that Ben Johnson said he's going to have a short leash or just not settle, right? I don't know. I don't know if Ozzie Trapillo is the answer. I don't know if Theo Bennett's the answer. But after Sunday's loss, like, Braxton Jones wasn't the answer. So you gotta find ways to be better there. The defense. My God, the defense needs to find ways to be better. And look, after watching live, you know, I felt like pass rush was non-existent. Felt the exact same way, you guys. Here's just my notes from the very first drive, which ended up being a Detroit Lions touchdown after Cairo Santos kicks a ball out of bounds. Like, I don't know what's going on over there, but you have a 5-man rush. Nobody wins the rushes. Goff all day to throw and find St. Brown for a huge gain. Sweat doubled. Grady, nope. Dio, nada. Then you have a misdirection. Line goes left for the Detroit Lions. Laporta wide open going right, and nobody goes with him. Line of scrimmage is moving back into the interior of the defensive line. Jared and Dexter are part of that. And then a big thing, and Ben Johnson mentioned it in his postgame press conference, they did not win the edge. They did not seal the edge. They did not, you know, one, replace the line of scrimmage, dent the pocket. It felt like the Detroit Lions offensive lines were pushing back the Bears D line. But when you look at the edges, there were some huge runs. The first touchdown run, Jahmyr Gibbs going left. Tremaine, I have as a bad angle, pinned inside by the St. Brown block, which also blocks Stevenson. That's another guy we got to get to. Bears can't get the edge. Easy touchdown to Gibbs. So you're giving up these types of plays, and these are things that, I don't know, like it's something that should be day one kind of stuff. Set the edge. Don't let anybody get outside. Pursuit to the football. You didn't see enough of that in this one. And I get it, the Detroit Lions, they have a good system there. They have extremely capable and talented backs, but you're making it so much easier when you're not setting the edge, when you're not rallying to the football, when you're not denting the pocket. And so what are you going to expect when you don't do those things? You're going to give up these types of plays. And it happened, guys, consistently. I mean, of course, yes, the Bears defense did force some punts here and there the second drive. Four plays, 20 yards. They force a punt there. But a touchdown that next drive, man. What do we have here? Sweat makes a tackle for minimum game. Sweat gets himself a sack, nice hands, and fights through a block. But And a quick close on the quarterback. But Stevenson commits an illegal contact penalty. And there's also an illegal formation, the offset. You have a five-man rush on Goff, hits St. Brown for a big 32-yard gain with Stevenson in coverage. You keep finding the common denominator here, 29, Tyreek Stevenson. Then you have Monty, David Montgomery, touchdown run. Like, even when there was a positive, and I mentioned Montez Sweat there. You got to play all of the unit, right? On that play, though, you also had Tyreek Stevenson not doing his job. The illegal contact. You had Tyreek Stevenson giving up some huge, huge plays. It's not helping that his defensive line is not getting after the quarterback, but it's also not helping that, you know, just coverage-wise, he's just not able to stay with guys. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, Lions probably went to this matchup saying we're going to capitalize on this, and they absolutely did. Absolutely did. Here, I'm just going to keep scrolling through my notes. They do force, like I said, after the fumble, they force a punt. Even after the Bears turnover on downs, they have a missed field goal. See, after the interception, though, like you go 8 plays, 67 yards, 4 minutes, 57 seconds. Oh, this is a drive, too. Yeah. So on that, after the interception, you guys, the Lions go the 8 plays, 67 yards. You start the drive off with a 4-yard pass, right? And then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight running plays. 6 straight running plays for the Lions. They're like, you know what? You can't stop it. We're going to keep going with this. And the Bears defense could not put any resistance. And you know what? It actually starts with a 2-yard run, then a 6-yard run. And they were using their wide receivers as well to kind of mix into the run game. But 2-yard run, 6-yard run, 9-yard run from Khalif Raymond, a 9-yard run from David Montgomery, an 18-yard run from David Montgomery, an 11-yard run from Jahmyr Gibbs. Then you have the 8-yard touchdown pass to right, the tight end. I have Sam Laporta on my fantasy team. Doesn't help there. But you see, they just found that this Bears defensive line, one, is it going to set the edge? Weren't going to fill their gaps. Their linebackers are getting reached on the second level. And that's it, man. That's demoralizing. A team saying, we're just going to run the football, you stop it. And when you do, then we'll adjust. But even if you don't, we're going to keep going. And then they hit you with the pass, how they started the drive with a pass to and capitalize on the touchdown. And you know what? Yeah, Chicago fanatic. I see here a whole lot of problems still come back to Poles roster decision. Now we scout and find the difference makers either through the draft or free agency. I'm also thinking about that myself. Do the Bears just not have the guys to stop the run, to get after the quarterback? I mean, I think it's evident now seeing how it played out, how it's been playing out. But 2 weeks now, I've been saying, and you guys probably have too, like, pass rush is not there. I do a stock up, stock down after every game, and I'm trying to write that throughout the game. Stock down, I had Montez Sweat in there. Like, you're not getting a guy, I think, that's paid on annual average the 11th highest for an edge defender, according to Over the Cap. Come on, man. Like, you're not getting that from him, run or in pass rush. So if that's your big ticket guy, and obviously you paid Dio Odengbo as well, and he's had some flashes here and there, but not consistently enough. Like, then that's why you're giving up to Jared Goff, 334 yards, 5 touchdowns, and I believe the Lions set a franchise record for yards per play. Don't have the exact number in front of me. It's 8 something. But yeah, when you're able to do this on the ground, through the air, no resistance, you're going to give up those types of plays. You're never going to get off the field on defense, and you're going to give up 52. 52. I mean, I don't even know if it's worth going through any more of these defensive notes here. I do have a 3rd and 10, no rush. Dexter and Sweat run a twist, but Jalen Johnson breaks up the pass. to Amon-Ra St. Brown. That was on the 55-yard missed field goal. And then Jalen Johnson gets injured with, you know, the groin injury. TJ Edwards leaves the game after a huge play to Jameson Williams, I think, to start the third quarter. Hamstring injury. So you're losing two key guys, and now you're going into a matchup with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll see what the severity is, but it can't be good. Those guys were dealing with the injuries coming into the football game. They leave the game with the same injuries. Not great, you guys. Not great. Not great. But yeah, I'm just going through the defensive plays, and even on the touchdown drive before the end of the half, all in the middle of the field, you're kind of just giving up yards, little chunks here and there. Moving down. Isaac Tesla, nice one-handed grab against Tyreek Stevenson. His name's come up a lot in this show, and there are a lot of big plays that have also been had by him. But like I said, it takes all 11 to win on defense, and pass rush did not do its job. Tyreek Stevenson did not do his job. Everybody really with their angles didn't do a great job of maybe even limiting some of these bigger runs because, again, you're out of position, and maybe that's with the motion from the Detroit Lions offense or whatever it may be. It just nothing helped. And a big game. Coming off 0-1, you lose in the fourth quarter like you did against the Minnesota Vikings. You thought there would be more urgency. And here's the big thing where I want to close because once you get to the second half, there's not a lot of positives here. But when this team does face adversity, they need to absolutely show that they can handle it better. Right? Like we saw that in against Minnesota. But after, where do I want to say? Is it really after the after the interception, you give up a touchdown, right, to the Lions. You go get yourself a touchdown. But then I want to say it's what the end of the half. The end of the half, I think, really just, you know, you go down two scores, 28-14. You get the three and out on offense. Lions score a field goal, turnover on downs, and then it gets away from you. Touchdown again. You punt, touchdown again for the Lions. Then you get a touchdown to make it 21-45. But at that point, you know, it's already done and over with. And then Lions go get another touchdown. So they absolutely need to show that they can, when something doesn't go their way, it's not going to end the game. And I know that they're not approaching. I know that those guys in the locker room, they have a lot of pride in what they're doing, but you need to show it on the football field, to be completely honest. Not so much of like what I believe their belief is in themselves, but you need to show that you can handle these times that are not going your way. Come out and still battle through. I mean, that's what the Vikings did in the fourth quarter against the Bears in week one. Bears did not show that type of comeback in this one against the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, Chicago fanatic, you said it there too. I would love to see the PFF grades. Yeah, definitely going to be looking out to see those just to see, how I use PFF grades too. I'll definitely go watch the All-22, which my process is I'll try to watch the game three times. I know people, when I posted that I was watching the game, they're like, don't do it. Stop yourself. You just kind of have to just kind of understand a little bit more why this got so out of hand. But watch the game live. Press box view if I'm at the game. If not, watch the condensed version of the TV copy and then watch the All-22. Yeah, guys, we wanted, seeing some points here, Jamal G, like, you need to, trade DJ and Komet. So that's what you're saying, Jamal G. Trade DJ and Komet so we can develop Colston and Burton. I don't know about all that now, but they just need to get those guys involved, man. You need to. You don't, we talked, you had all these weapons, you have all these weapons going into the season. Use them. Find ways to get them in the football. Did Colston Loveland not even? Oh, he did have a target. Wow. When was that? Well, no. I mean, no receptions, obviously, but It's just alarming, man. Justin Baker, Nick, where does this team rank in your Bears ickiness scale? It feels among the worst and quickly. Man, I didn't know I had an ickiness scale, but defensively, it's up there right now. Because I don't know how they're going to generate pass rush. If you just don't have the guys to do it in Dennis Allen's scheme, then you're not going to, I don't think you're going to do it. And unless guys individually just get a whole lot better than what they've been showing the past 2 weeks, but not too confident in that right now. I don't know how you can be, right? To be realistic with you. So that's really concerning. Offensively, I'm still not like panic mode by any means. It's nothing like that. I think the Bears will eventually start putting more consistent games together, but they do just need to get better, you guys. No doubt about it. Looks like the stream just died on me. See if we can get this going again. Apologize. Let's see if we can get. Ooh, now we're on. Now we're at the. Maybe this is a sign. The main camera goes down. The stream is down. And I don't even know if you guys can hear me right now, but we're going to end the stream there. Just like the Bears just fell apart. And maybe it's frozen. Great picture of me, by the way. But hey, appreciate everyone for hanging out as this is going down here, just like the Bears did in their game against the Detroit Lions. But we're going to end the stream. Appreciate it. Watch, like, subscribe as you look at a still photo of me just thinking, how's this Bears team going to get better? All right, guys, have a good one. Sorry about the stream, and have a great rest of your day.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.